Welcome everybody to JMC Live tonight. This is going to be our final part of the Ditch Digger series. We've said that more than once, that we're done with the Ditch Digger series. We had discussions about what we're going to do for it and what we're not going to do for it. So in this case, we're wanting to talk about, and it's going to be analogies in regards to, you know, gardening and prep, things of that nature. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. We'll do a little updates about things that we've had done and we're involved in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, a lot of you haven't, you know, seen Miranda on his stream for a while. So here we are back in here. Like I said, the last show that we did, the last program we did, it was just me. Things were just kind of little bonkers, but everything's fine and good to go. So without further ado, I just want you guys to, you know, be all excited to know that God is doing what he needs to do, and we're moving in the place that, you know, we're supposed to be, to see exactly what God wants us to do. Because I'm really excited about tonight, because like I said, this being, you know, about, you know, God moving in such a way that we can, you know, see exactly what he has in store for us and where he wants us to go and how he wants us to operate and everything. I'm just really excited to see how Jesus is going to move tonight. Lots of things. So Recover had another amazing evening last Monday with a Malaysia event where we were doing a prayer night. And that prayer night, we were talking about the world, and we were praying for Canada and different places across Asia and the United States, and about what God was going to do for this fall and how he was going to make changes and how things were going to move to different places and different people's lives. And I was really excited to see that. Before that, we were working with other different ministry partners, seeing things prepare for Canada, seeing things happening across the United States as many revivals continued. Jill, that partnered with this for the Christian National Revival, they've been doing like monthly revivals. Different churches have been shuffling this stuff around. We have something planned for next month that we'll reveal in October later on. Thank you for fixing my collar. It was a little womper jawed. Is that the right word? Womper jawed?
Yeah, that's, you're learning Appalachian.
Womper jawed.
Language.
But yeah, so tonight, as you said, hi, Miranda. We haven't seen you for a while. It's been a while since Miranda's been on here. For those of you who are on Clapper and TikTok, you'll hear Miranda in the background. But what's exciting about this being, you know, the last part of the Ditch Digger.
It's the last part.
It's got to be the last part. It really has to be.
The thing is, Jeremy a lot of times has shared the message, but the Lord gave me every part of the Ditch Digger series, every sermon, the Lord gave that to me. Now, I wasn't always able to share it because I was in a Crohn's flare. The past 3 months, I had no voice whatsoever to even talk. So he was basically like my Aaron, you know, and he spoke for me what God gave me, you know, to share. And a lot of times he has to be that. But every sermon that we did through with the Ditch Digger series over the past year and a half, the Lord gave me all of that. And I thank him for it, because they're great little messages. And really what it is, the Ditch Digger series, really the core of all, I mean, he really, when he started giving me these little messages, he's like, this is the core of your ministry. This is it. This is like kind of our ministry's main message. Yeah. I want to be a ditch digger for Jesus. And how, when we go from being a seed and we grow and become part of the harvest, and we go back out to the field and we become a ditch digger, and we help prepare the soil so that Jesus can come and plant the seeds. You know, somebody has to prepare the soil for the sower to be able to go out and plant the seeds and sow them. And so Now we are at the end, and really what it is about discipleship, mentoring discipleship from the baby Christian to the end where we have preserved the harvest, and the harvest is now preserved and ready to be light and salt and food to the world, to feed others, to help nourish others spiritually and help them grow. And depending on the type of vegetable or fruit, type of food, and it correlates to people, because not we're all individual, unique people, just like the harvest. It isn't always the same type of vegetable or, you know, wheat or grain or bean or whatever. Depending on what it is, you have to preserve it a certain way. Not all food can be preserved the same way. So let us start with this. So after you store, now we go back to our last message in the Ditch Digger series called Storing the Harvest. After we have stored the harvest, we have to process it and we have to preserve it. And the best way to preserve a harvest, a lot of times, if you're not dealing with hay or straw or like wheat, is to put it in a root cellar. The root cellar is kind of the room where you go to be stored, and you grow, and you preserve, and you stay there until you're ready to be taken out into the world and be used. That's the root cellar is our spiritual war room. That's what the Lord gave me. That's our war room right there, the root cellar. And we go in our war room and our prayer closet, and we pray and we fast and we work on our relationship with the Lord, and we read His word, and that's where we are preserved. And that's where He stores us until we are, for the time He has chosen for us to go out and be that salt and light and that nourishment to others. Okay. I don't know. He gave me that. I right before we started, He says, I kept saying, what is the root cellar? The root cellar. What is the root cellar spiritually, Lord? You told me the root cellar, and I just said, that's your prayer closet. That's your war room. I was like, ooh, there we go. And so when we are preserving the harvest, go back to that Facebook post. I need to read that. Okay. So this is a post I found that's really great about the history of the root cellar. And it says, have you ever wondered how our ancestors preserved a whole winter season worth of frost-intolerant produce? Canning is a useful method, though a large harvest can easily turn it into a seemingly impossible task. The solution many generations before us turned to was building a root cellar. Although many cannot build their own old-world root cellars due to rentals inadequate space or urban environments, a little common sense, a wisdom of temperature and humidity guidelines will allow anybody to whip together an ideal means of prolonging produce life through the winter. A conventional root cellar, which essentially is a room buried in a hillside or underground, meets only a handful of criteria. Insulation. The earth is a wonderful insulator. A typical old world root cellar was literally buried on all sides except for the entrance, utilizing the natural insulating properties of the soil. And that made me think of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kind of surrounds us and kind of protects us. This is like the soil that insulates us, keeps us from the rot and the ruin, and kind of, and you know, and convicts us when You see how awesome this is. I mean, I didn't even think, I didn't even think of all of this, but it's just so awesome. I just love what the Lord does. Well, anyway, so then you need ventilation, and it is important that your makeshift root cellar can breathe. Warm, sterile air needs to flow out of the top of your chamber as fresh, cool air makes its way through the bottom. This is important to keep humidity levels under control in order to prevent the rot of moisture-sensitive vegetables such as squashes. Same, got to keep the sin out of you and the world and all of the stuff that will rot us. I just love it. I know I'm hitting you, but I just love it. I get excited.
It's Sorry. Picking up.
I know, I'm just...
Don't do that no more.
So anyway, then, although we need the light of Christ, but to store the harvest, preserve it, you do need some darkness. Light accelerates the decomposition of fruits and vegetables. An ideal means of storage in a corporate's complete darkness. And sometimes, and the darkness to me is when the Holy Spirit kind of shields us from, so we can't see, so we're not distracted, so we can't see all of the chaos and insanity that is going around us that may keep us from growing in our walk with Christ and allowing that rot to come in. So you think of it as here it's darkness, but it's in the spiritual realm, it's Christ kind of putting a hedge around us so we can't, you know, kind of a shield so we can't see anything, keep us from anything that would distract us and hinder us from growing in our faith. And so consider what you may have on hand if you would like to construct a practical yet permanent root cellar. Bearing an insulated plastic or metal trash can with a tight lid is a proper option. Others have gone to the trouble of recycling an entire broken refrigerator by submerging it in a hillside. Another option is to frame off your basement with a window or vent, and more conservative approach is to sink a large cooler into the ground. If one of these avenues are chosen, make sure you are ventilating with a hose or a pipe. And so so once you have your root cellar, and what are you storing in there? What is God putting in there to preserve? And so they mentioned canning, which canning is a very long, arduous process if you have a big harvest. And canning, you pretty much can anything if you know how to properly do it. But typically people can corn, green beans, tomatoes, cucumbers, they pickle them. But not everything can be canned. Some things are better dried, like string beans. People, before there was canning, and so sometimes it's easier just to string the green beans and string them up and let them dry. And you can dry onions, garlic, you dry beans, like pinto beans, lima beans, things like that. Then of course we go into the pickling of things, sauerkraut, cabbage, cucumbers. You pickle just about anything. I personally, and not many people will eat this, but I absolutely love pickled okra.
You're weird.
Says the man from Texas who doesn't like beans.
I don't like beans.
Okay. So anyway, but I also love pickled eggs and beets. Pickled beets, those are my favorite way to eat beets. Anything really pickled. You can pickle cauliflower.
Surprised you didn't pickle me yet.
you just need a, he loves regular pickles and just drink pickle juice, so he's already pickled.
I like pickle juice.
Yeah. So, but then you can, with fruit, then you can preserve them by making jams and jellies. You can also do that with, like, dandelions. You can make dandelion flowers. You can make certain flowers you can make into preserves. It's amazing. Once you start looking into, like, preserving food and the different things you actually can, that are edible and you can actually use. But, and then, of course, a lot of what people do today, we freeze. We have our freezer, a deep freezer or a little freezer, and we freeze our fruits and vegetables. Of course, they don't last, you know, they're not preserved for as long as, say, canning. But the other way that I read that isn't mentioned in this post is when they didn't have like a root cellar, it was, you know, back centuries ago, they would actually dig just a big hole below the frost line and put their cabbages, potatoes, carrots, things like that, just bury them right in the ground and cover back up with soil and straw. And when during the wintertime, when they wanted to use, they would just dig them back up and they were perfectly fine. And so sometimes, and that really, you know, how many times did, you know, sometimes we have to be, you know, it kind of symbolizes the resurrection. We're buried and, you know, we come to repentance, we die from, you know, we ask Jesus to forgive us, we die to ourselves. We're buried, and then we are reborn. We are resurrected, and so that goes along with that type of preservation. And so, it to me, it's just so fascinating how, you know, God, He created, you know, farming, and He created all of this, and how it coincides with our spiritual walk so much and through the Ditch Digger series. And so we're going to, what does the Word of God say about preservation and preserving? So Jeremy, if you want, we'll go to that.
I have to deal with some issues real quick. Just okay. A minute. Yeah. All right, just don't look at the chat.
Yeah, I know.
What is it you need now again?
I need the first scripture.
Okay. There you go.
So we're going to look at 5 scriptures. And we're going to start at Proverbs. Is it Proverbs 2:8?
Proverbs 2:8.
And I kind of feel like this is, that's not the version I used.
That's okay.
But the version I used actually said preserve.
Well, you're going to say that. That's why I want to show the difference. It's okay. So there's different versions of Proverbs 2:8. One version actually says preserving the course and preserving the way of the faithful ones. So you guard the course and protect the way.
Yeah.
So we want to correlate.
He guards the course of the just and preserves the way of his faith. You know, mm-hmm. He preserves his faithful ones.
And the reason why I put up this one is I wanted you to understand that preserving the harvest is about the garden experience. But for our walk with Christ, we're talking about protecting the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But saying protecting the harvest as the show title versus preserving, that's a whole different thing. We're talking about what God is trying to do and how God wants to operate and move in such a way that things go according to his plan.
Because
you're talking about the future generations. We're talking about future people and others that are involved with what God is trying to do.
That's actually not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to use as this is that he guards and protect our ways because we have a purpose and he has a plan for us. And through him preserving our lives and protecting our lives, we are then stored and within the world, within, you know, where he puts us to be used to be the salt and the light and the fruit, the sustenance, spiritual sustenance to others through, like I said, mentorship, discipleship. We help feed the you know, young people in Christ or people that are lost. And so let's go back to the other scripture. Yeah, next one. And so in Hosea 12:13, it says, the Lord used a prophet to bring Israel up from Egypt. By a prophet, he cared for him. Now, that is not, I don't even recognize the way this is being worded. I'm going to have to look this up myself. Hold on. Because this is...
All right, so let's
get I don't like the NIV. I don't ever use the NIV.
So let me pull up some different versions.
I got it myself.
Okay.
Well, while she's doing that, don't touch anything. Okay, this is the version I used.
There it is. New King James Version.
But I also use the Amplified because Amplified gives, in parentheses, a little more context to things too.
Okay.
But Hosea 12, verse 13 says, and by prophet Moses, the Lord brought Israel up from Egypt, and by a prophet, Israel was preserved.
Yeah, so... Like I said, NIV says a prophet cared for him. Say your last part of the sentence of 13 again.
And by a prophet, Israel was preserved. See, I don't like...
That's what New King James says as well. It says, and by a prophet,
but the NIV, it completely changes it. It doesn't really... Cared for is not the same as preserved.
Yeah, Amplified adds the line, by a prophet, Israel was preserved. The CSV says Israel was tended by a prophet. CEB says a prophet.
Okay,
So I'm liking these different versions.
No, I don't like the different versions.
But I prefer that one, like she said. ISV says the prophet, he was rescued, which is, that's exciting.
Let's go to the next one. I will look it up myself.
All right, look up your Psalm 12. I'm going to read what I have for this one. It says, your Lord will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked. That's Psalm 12. 7. Psalm 12, 7. So if we look at the...
You, O Lord, the version I the Lord told me to use for this sermon, said, you, O Lord, will preserve and keep them. You will protect him from this evil generation forever.
Yeah, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amplified says, you will guard and keep us from this evil generation forever.
Okay, we're not going... We don't need to know this. Ooh. Many different versions.
Wow. I like this, the CJB. Wow. That's some really good stuff. But what's exciting is this talking about the ditch digger. We're talking about preserving the harvest. We're talking about what God is doing and how he's moving in our lives, in the lives of others, and exactly what he wants to do for us and through us. Because this is about not only your future, but also about like future generations and about what God is going to do next. So we just read Psalms 2:7. You're looking up now what, Job?
Yeah, and of course, Job, we know poor Job, he went through a lot.
Oh, goodness.
And so, the Amplified says, you have granted me life and loving kindness. You, in your providence, divine care, supervision, has preserved my spirit. And we if you know the story, he went through so much. All of his family was killed. All of his belongings was taken. His wife told him to curse God and die. He was covered with boils all over his body. He was afflicted.
I like
and
this.
In every way, he was afflicted. But yet, he did not.
Mm-hmm.
The devil could not take his life.
No, it cannot.
God preserved his life. So it doesn't matter how much the devil may. If if you're still here, God has preserved you. He has a plan for it isn't your time to go. And it wasn't Job, and God did give him back everything.
Yeah.
And double.
And that's why I like this New King James Version. And it says, you have granted me life and favor. Yeah. So remember how the conversation was with God and Satan. They were having this thing. God grants Job life and favor.
Because
and that he cared for him.
Yes.
And he preserved his spirit. So not only was he taking care of his physical health, he was taking care of his spiritual health.
Even though he was physically afflicted and he was afflicted in every way, his life was still preserved. His soul was still preserved. His spirit was still preserved.
Yes.
And then he went through this, and then God gave him back and restored everything to him, which you were talking about how God restored so much of what you lost in your past.
I mean, we were talking about testimonies last night before we go to the next verse, because it doesn't correlate with the next verse. It correlates what we've got to this point. And Miranda reminded me, and this is going to be kind of off track, Jeremy, you didn't share about what happened when you were homeless in the second homeless experience. And, you know, your mother died. He said, why did you forget that? I said, well, there's just so much to cover and some things get taken out. And, you know, that doesn't, you know, when someone dies, that doesn't come back. But, you know, all the belongings and some of the items I had and the experiences, the things I lost, things that were on delay, like we talked about, you know, college and, you know, jobs and other things, how Miranda really helped me and others really helped me and pushed me to be able to get to this point where I could be taken care of. And it correlates with this next verse, because I had to flee for my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had to cut off people out of my life that were still alive, and their relatives and their associates are still cut off of my life. They're blocked on social media. I've moved out of state.
And you shared about how, and the people that helped you, helped preserve your life, those were the ditch diggers of your life.
Correct. So before we get to this last big verse, because like I said, we're explaining my life. The same thing happened with Miranda when we got together. There were things that needed to be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Not going into detail of what all that entails, because that's still an ongoing process with her. But there's people, places, and things that we both experience. And you have people, places, and things that are toxic and not beneficial. And permissible and beneficial, like that verse talks about, that you need to have in your life. And you have to set those boundaries. You have to do those things. But in the case of preserving the harvest, the case of the ditch digger, the case about the church and about the ministry, about passing the legacy, and you have to be prepared, because we're living in a time where there's places, people, and things that are trying to totally destroy people. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about other religions necessarily. I'm
just
talking about Jesus right now, and
life happening
and what you're doing and where you're going and how you're going to get there. You have to be ready in and out of season, because this is a matter of trust. You don't move to different places unless you have the right kind of trust to be able to do what God has called you to do. And that's what's so important here as we look at Psalms 37:28, and we're just going to read a different version.
Okay, so for the Lord delights in justice and does not abandon his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off.
Correct. So this says the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Now, faithful ones, if you have friends that we have that are in, you know, third world countries and they're persecuted, you know, if we're talking about Jesus, and bad things are happening to them. Some people say, well, your God's not real and bad stuff happens and all that. No, God is still going to preserve you and take care of you and the things that he wants in your life and the lives of others.
And sometimes, here's the thing. And sometimes he preserves us through death.
Yes.
Because this is just the shell of us. This isn't all of us. What the devil is trying to get to is what's inside.
Correct.
He's trying to get to our soul, because Jesus himself, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but be afraid of he who can destroy the soul.
Yes.
And the devil is not, he's after what's inside of this shell. And sometimes to preserve us, he takes us home. Death does not mean, you know, well, you know, well, they didn't, he didn't get healed. He didn't, blah, or she didn't, blah, blah, blah. And now they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Death is not the end. Death is literally just the beginning. Our life is just but a little blip.
So that brings up the question, you know, if we're looking at the second half of the verse, wrongdoers will be completely destroyed and the offspring of the wicked will perish. And what God is saying is the things in your life and the people in your life, they're not going to carry over. Like I said, there were people in generations of my life that had history of divorce and domestic violence and all this other kind of nonsense and things. And because of the power of God, me and Miranda are still together. We've been together how long now?
16 years. We'll be married 16 years on the 22nd of September.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be together 17 years come November 25th.
Correct. So preserving the harvest is for you, whether you are a pastor or not. Some people call me a pastor, but I don't get to go on and preach and share messages like this on a regular basis. You know, I'm not in a physical church building and whatnot. So we do this to share a message to pass on to other generations. We're working with overseas missions.
We just all call. The world we just
do what God calls us to do.
We just say we're two little missionaries working together to share to fulfill the Great Commission. That's who we are.
Yeah.
Now, anything else anybody wants to call us, that's up to them.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, we're little ditch diggers for Jesus.
So to recap the whole ditch digger series and, you know, 5 minutes or less, you know, we're talking about people that are preparing the way. We're talking about those that do the work after the preparation. Look at it as preparing for a football game or preparing, you know, a meal, or look at it, you know, maybe you're preparing for a concert. There's different
people. As we grow in our faith, we also move to different stages of the Ditch Digger series. We become protectors of the harvest. We can become fruit pickers, but we may not always be in those kind of more leadership roles.
Yeah.
We may be doing that grunt work that nobody sees, that behind the scenes, which that's a lot of what we do. And I stress this, that if you are in ministry, if you're just gotten saved, if you are just starting in your walk with Christ, I will tell you this, the more that you walk in your faith and grow in your faith and find out where God wants you to be in ministry work, what he has called you into, whether it be hospitality or music ministry or custodial work, or, you know, maybe you're a carpenter, maybe you're, you know, a plumber, you know, but whatever that you are good at, whatever skills and hobbies or talents that God has given you, what, you know, not all of us are called to be preachers. Not all of us are called to be musicians. Not all of us are called to be up on the stage in front of everybody. You know, a lot of people, and I'm going to say this, 90% of your ministry work will not be seen by the public.
Mm-hmm.
If you are being obedient and you are placing yourself available for God to be however he wants to use you, sometimes you're cleaning someone's toilet. Maybe you're called to be a caregiver for a while for somebody. Maybe you're wiping poopy butts. Because I did. I did that. That's
I did make
I would still be doing that. I would still be in nursing and being a caregiver for people if I hadn't gotten sick.
So speaking on that, I was in the same boat as her. I was doing maintenance, and we were you know, cleaning the toilets and the showers of the internship. When I lost my job and I had to do the volunteer for the Salvation Army as a janitor of the internship for the Honor Academy. And when I was at my job at a Dana Center, I took out my own trash and I cleaned the kitchen and washed the dishes and clean our area and stuff. If you're not willing to serve, you're not willing to lead. You're not ready to lead.
And I saw this post about, like, management, like just working, like, and when you are working a job, if you are placed in a leadership position, you should never expect those who are below you to do something for you that you yourself would not do. And so to be a good leader, you must be a good servant, just as Jesus was the perfect example of a great leader, and he was our Savior. And so he is the prime example. He did everything that he did what we could not do. We could not have done what he did and saved ourselves. He paid a debt that he did not owe.
Yeah.
And to save us. And so that is where we're at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your war room / your low root cellar? Where you can go in and you can grow and be, and God can preserve you so that then when the time is right, you can be the salt, light, and nourishment to others in this world. That's the end. That's the ultimate end of the Ditch Digger series.
Yeah, because this all starts with the foundation of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Before anyone cleans a toilet, before anyone speaks, there should be multiple time and fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The founders of the Azusa Revival said they got to the point that they were praying 8 hours a day before revival broke out.
And you know, when I think about it, and it may not be that they were just in a room praying just constantly for 8 hours. It could be they were just constantly praying throughout the day as they were going along in their daily work. Because the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you, a lot of times when I'm just doing the dishes, I'm scrubbing floors and so on, God will bring somebody to my mind. I just start praying for them.
People that are
a situation that I may know about in the world happening, that I've read on news, God will say, start praying for that situation in the world. Start praying for this leader that's in place, that's in the world, or, you know, different things. And that is something that I do. It may not, you know, it isn't like an, may not be every single day, but throughout the day, I check social media, see if people have posted prayer, their prayer requests on their own pages, on my newsfeed. I go through and I look for people to pray for, my friends that follow me, and I follow them. And that's the greatest thing we can ever do for somebody. When you feel helpless, like, I'm not doing enough. Like, oh, I just can't do enough. Like, I truly feel that way a lot of days. Especially, like, the past 3 months, I had no voice whatsoever. I could sing. I could not speak. I was very, very sick. I was so ill that a lot of times I was just, you know, barely getting through the day. I'd do my, you know, like 30 minutes of chores. I just stand, you know, like, back, just a little bit of vacuuming, a little bit of dusting. I'd have to go lay down. There was at one point in the past 3 months, I was taking like 2 naps a day because I was so weak from where I had been so ill, because my, between having compromised immune system, autoimmune disease, and then fighting whatever they never did figure out. They run all these tests. Was it strep? Was it COVID? They couldn't figure out what it was. But I had some kind of infection somewhere in my body. And
so Brandon shifted from talking to praying internally a lot.
I did. And the house was extremely quiet for 3 months. And Jeremy's like, it's so weird. Because there's like, and how I would communicate, I'd whistle. There were certain, I'd snap my fingers or I'd clap or, you know, it's like sign language, like weird, you know. It went on for so long that now the dog, I've trained him about the clapping and different noises I make. Now I've trained him because I couldn't holler and come here. So now in 3 months, I trained my dog to just listen to me by snap or clap or whistle or something like that. But what it comes down to is we can get very discouraged at times. And that's why it's so important to get in our little root cellar, get in our little war room, where it's the perfect environment to keep all the bad stuff out, the mold, the bacteria, the sin, the things that will rot us.
Mm-hmm.
Get into that room and be in total darkness where we can't see, where the Holy Spirit and can encompass us, round us, and guard us from whatever may try to hinder us and bring us down to the point where we're so discouraged we just don't want to continue on. And if we do that, we have to do that. We have to do that. Because at the end of the day, you know, we go to a church service a lot of times, just Sunday morning anymore. A lot of churches just have Sunday morning service and that's it. And maybe they'll have, you know, one midweek, but a lot of people work. They can't go. Well, we've talked to a lot of people who work third shift. They never get to go to church. They're Christians. They do the best they can, but they don't have an opportunity anymore. And we've talked to them, said, we understand what you're going through. We've been going through this a lot longer. And some of the people we talked to, they're young Christians, and they're like, yeah, I work third shift. I can't do it. You know, I have no, you know, so they turn to social media. They're, you know, trying to create, you know, a community, you know, a faith community online where people who are disabled can't get out, you know, we're shut in, or people that work, you know, jobs that don't allow them to go to church or Sunday morning. They're trying to preserve their faith. And so we're creating our own little root cellars for us to all, you know, are the potatoes and the carrots and the other thing too that I wanted to share, you can't store just anything in your root cellar, any type of fruit or vegetable, because you cannot store apples in a root cellar with all of your other stuff. Apples give off a type of bacteria and a toxin that will, if it is in your root cellar, it will rot your vegetables. So you got to be careful who you let into your little root cellar, because not everybody is cohabitable and is not there to help you grow. I wanted to add that, but we need to have our little root cellars. We need to have our little prayer rooms, our little war rooms, where we can come and be with Jesus and grow, and he can preserve us, and we can grow in our faith, and we can get those roots deep in the ground and root ourselves in Christ better with each year that he keeps us here and preserves us here on earth. And I'm trying to think. I'll get on, my brain will just kind of go, I forgot what it is. But yeah, about the church services. And so when we can't go to church, but it's coming down to so, you know, and so many churches, they had a lot of different, you know, types of services throughout the week and Sunday night before COVID. But once COVID hit, everybody has just, it's scary what some of the churches are becoming. And so they quit having Sunday services. And so, and what it's coming down to, folks, is that eventually your salvation, your little, the Word of God, and what in Jesus and what Jesus did for you has to be enough to carry you. Because there is not going to be a building where you can go be entertained. There's not going to be, you know, song fests and different things, you know, because one day you may wake up and you're sick and you're never well again and you can't go and do what you used to do. Because that's what happened to me. I woke up one day and I was never well again. And I could not go. I could not ever get up on any morning and be well enough to go sit in a church. Like today, we did go out, but I had to go get new glasses. And so I literally, to be able to go out, here's what I have to do. I have to starve myself. And it's kind of, it's very dangerous to it because I also have pre-diabetes. So I have to, I just have to get just a piece of toast, just a small piece of toast to eat. So I take my medicine. But if I eat, you know, what people consider a healthy, normal meal, I am then tethered to the bathroom for like two to four hours. And so I can't do that. So to be able to go anywhere, I have to go out and not eat or drink anything. And if I do eat or drink, I have to pretty much come right back home. And then I'm sick because that's what happened today. We went out. We went to the grocery store, picked up my medicine. And then we did stop and we did get some breakfast. We were out so early. But as soon as I got home, I was violently ill for like a half an hour straight. And I was to the point where I was sweating and I was like on the verge of passing out because I was just that violently ill. And that's my life every day in the mornings. And so it's hard. And a lot of times when we watch church service, we have multiple churches that we follow. Ministers we're really good friends with. We watch their church services. We support them. And a lot of times I am in the bathroom watching their church service. That's how I get fed. I'm on the toilet because of the Crohn's disease. And there's a lot of others out there that are just like me. And it's a really sad situation. But, you know, I could just wake up on Sunday mornings and I'm too sick. And there's sometimes I can't watch church service because I am violently ill. But as soon as I feel better, I get up and I will go and look, you know, watch their services and everything like that. Still, it is an active choice. You have to choose if God wakes you up every morning, you have to, before you get up, you make a choice. Am I going to get up and I'm going to serve him? Or am I going to get up and I'm just going to do whatever, and choose to do my own thing? It is, you choose daily what we're going to do. And whether or not we're going to be a ditch digger or a protector of the harvest or a fruit picker or a person that helps, you know, store the harvest, takes the harvest to the storage room, or if we're the one helping preserve it, to can it, to dry it, to put it in the root cellar. And I hope through this message tonight, it has inspired you. It has encouraged you in your walk. And that if you don't know the Lord, that you want to know him and you can be part of the harvest and have your life preserved through Jesus Christ and your soul preserved and saved. And if you're a longtime Christian or a new baby Christian, maybe you're discouraged. You're kind of like, I don't know what to do. I'm new at this. I hope this message has helped you, encouraged you. You know, if you're a longtime Christian, maybe you're struggling with being burnt out. You've just gave and maybe you need, and you haven't, you need to get back in your little root cellar in your war room, and you need to, you know, get, you know, some preservation and get some renewal and get fed yourself. I hope this helped you. I said, this is what the Lord gave me. This is nothing I came up with. I could never come up with it. I just have a high school education with a little medical training and certification and then a lot of just knowledge that I've learned over the years from my family and people who have mentored me in the faith over the years. And I certainly couldn't write this on my own. It's all glory to him. This whole series is the Lord's. And I hope the Lord, I hope you're blessed. He blesses you through these messages we've shared over the year and a half. And I'm going to turn it back over to Jeremy and let him share his final thoughts on this. And as I'm going to start rambling, I'm kind of done that already. But
yeah. But so this is the final piece of the Ditch Digger, preserving the harvest. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, God has spoke to many of you and through you through this series. Next steps is we're going to compile this. We're going to get this out there, and then we're going to get this and
we have it in a playlist,
a digital written form, and we'll be handing that out for free. And a couple of other steps after that.
But part of it was, two parts of it has already been published in a magazine.
Yeah.
The Ditch Digger original one. Well, the Ditch Digger one was published online and then also in two different places.
Two places, yeah.
And then the Fruit Picker, the Season of the Fruit Picker, it was published a couple months ago in a magazine. So
we got digital magazine and physical magazine for many of the pieces.
Yeah.
We're going to compile all this together and get this out there in a form that you can actually read.
But we can put it on our blog.
And we'll put it out there. We'll write it out. And we'll also have it available for people to download.
We're also considering, we are actively considering putting this into a book, mm-hmm. making this into like just a little book. Hopefully having it published. We can self-publish it. We also know people that know how to do all of that, and they're willing to point us in the right direction. But so we hope you've enjoyed the Ditch Digger series. And
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this evening. We just pray, God, that you'll just help people, guide them, and direct them. In Jesus' name, we pray that people will preserve the harvest. They will do exactly what you call them to do, God. We just ask you, Lord, to just move in people's lives as they continue to go to the places that they've been and to be the places that they'll go in the future, and that you'll help them, you'll lead them, you'll guide them and direct them. God, we ask you right now to just move in the midst of everyone's circumstances, strengthen them by the power of Jesus. We pray this by the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank you for coming tonight to this series to do exactly what we called you to do. If you are a ditch digger, if you are a protector, if you are a preserver, whichever role that you have, the different seasons in your life that come, we just hope that this series has blessed you, and we'll continue to get this out there for you. Look forward to there being music again. We're not going to make any announcements about what that's going to look like yet, because we're going to have to compile some things together. But there's a special event that will be happening in October. Once that's confirmed and it has been completed and recorded, we will make announcements at that point. I don't want to make any announcements about anything, because I don't want it to be sabotaged on what day and what time it's going to happen. It's not going to be done live because of the sensitivity of what it is, but it will be shared after it's done. People have asked what will happen in the future for Black Christmas. Yes, we have some plans for Christmas. We're trying to finalize that thing. Like I said, we're quite behind with Miranda not being able to sing. My job is a lot different now with the availability of what I can and cannot do. So it will be under an hour more than likely for that. There's a lot of great stuff happening on TikTok. Like I said, we had the testimony night last night. Both me and Miranda shared that. There's a live going to start here in about 6 minutes to an hour from now that we're continuing working with some other people. We've got hats and scarves and things sent to Kentucky. Other items are sent to, out for the homeless that's going through. That's starting next week. And they're wanting to continue this throughout the year. We're going to partner with them to help them with that. Brenda's still going to send some stuff to the kids, to the school down the street, and to where her mom used to work at the domestic violence shelter. So those items are already made. You have how many left to make, you think?
I have five. I probably have about close to 20. I would say about 20 items left to make.
About 20 items?
Yeah, and that then sounds I'm done about for the
right.
year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then you'll be done. So the Mitten Expedition continues.
This is like 14, year 14.
Year 14.
I think it's the 14th year. I've been doing it.
And she's
just blows my mind that it's like been 14 years like that since I started that little ministry project. And, I've already got 3 big trash bags full of yarn ready to start for next year.
Yep.
And
she still needs more yarn for everything else that's going on. Like I said, there's going to be like prayer cloths going out with our partner ministry. They're delivering stuff for the homeless. We got trainings going on in Malaysia. We got trainings in Vietnam and China. We got stuff going on in Mexico. We got stuff going on in other states in the U.S. We have some ministry partners doing things all across Canada. There's an event tonight in Canada. There's some multiple ones coming up throughout this year. I got a phone call with a Canadian partner tomorrow about things happening in the U.S. and Canada. Lots of stuff's going on behind the scenes with calls that we make with leaders and messages that are happening. So while the show isn't, you know, 5 days a week, there's other things going on. We just look forward to just continuing to work together to fulfill the Great Commission, to see God's glory shown in everyone's life, whether it's discipleship or some kind of training or music or puppets or whatever it is we're doing. We just hope that you're blessed and you have a good weekend. God bless.